Peace Counts is a collection of stories and photographs of peace activists worldwide. It documents the challenges as well as the success stories of people who are working for peace in sometimes very difficult conditions. Mali, the Knights of the Desert. In northern Mali, Henna and Barbara Papendiek encourage former conflict parties to work together for peace. As an incentive, the German couple offers them aid, but only on the condition that it stays peaceful.
The city in the desert is full of life. The streets of Diré in northern Mali are filled with shouting, noises and haggling. The black women in their colourful clothing sit on mats in front of piles of spices. Behind them, pirogues rock on the slow-flowing Niger River. The fishermen throw their nets upstream, while the women do the washing in the muddy brown water. Two hippos are bathing in the middle of the river. Yahya Akh Mohammed Ali has organized a meeting to talk with the people. He is immediately surrounded by men who pelt him with questions. They need water pumps and books for the school. Two of them start fighting about the distribution of arable land. Yahya waits to answer the questions. He calmly unrolls his turban, asks for a basin of water, washes his feet, and turns towards Mecca to pray. The men follow his example, and afterwards, now somewhat calmer, they form a circle around him. This man has brought peace to this place like a warm rain over the desert. Mali is bare, but when Yahya appears, the grey sparse land begins to bloom and the green fields of grain appear where there used to be only sand and thorns. Children play in front of a mud hut as if there had never been a war. Blacks and Tuareg, who are called redskins, were segregated during the rebellion. Today they wrestle together through the dust, milk the goats, and splash together in the Niger River. They don't know that they have Germany to thank for this, as well as Yahya Akh Mohammed Ali, son of Marabout, a tribal wise man. He's proud like his father, and sometimes short-tempered like many Tuaregs. Nevertheless, he is also capable and patient. With such a big heart, he ignored old rivalries between the tribes and married a black woman from the Bamara tribe. The collaboration between Yahya Akh Mohammed Ali and the two Germans is a success story. Like a person dying of thirst searching for water in the desert, this continent needs more stories like these. It's a lesson to be learned. The value of money is only as relative as the value of water in the desert. Carelessly spilled, it will be gone in a few seconds. Yahya Akh Mohammed Ali didn't spill a single drop. The men gathered around his house in Diré know that Yahya has money to give out, that is, German money. It's a lot for their standards. Still, they also know that this money is only available as long as it remains peaceful. September 1994. In northern Mali, peace is something which seems to most people as distant and unreal a concept as the shining and rich continent of Europe. Barbara and Henna Papendiek were 51 and 49 years old at the time when they came from Europe to Mali. The war between the government and rebels lasted 5 years. In the 70s and 80s, two droughts destroyed the pastures. Great numbers of cows belonging to the Tuareg died of thirst. The disaster attracted the attention of international relief agencies. Still, help which was so desperately needed from international groups never arrived in northern Mali. Instead, government civil servants used the relief money to build themselves grand mansions in the capital city of Bamako. Billions were wasted, just like that, said Henna Papendiek. The Tuareg, angry about the withheld aid, rebelled. Young mercenaries were called up who had learned how to kill thanks to Gaddafi in Libya. They had fought on far-off battlefields like Afghanistan and Bosnia. They had no prospects, possessed nothing, and had nothing to lose. They plundered army storage units and attacked gendarmerie posts with their stolen weapons. They fought the army and police and attacked everything that symbolized the government. They left behind nothing but sheer despair. Thousands of soldiers died on both sides, and hundreds of thousands of civilians were forced to flee. With pressure from France, the former colonial power, and the neighboring country, Algeria, a peace treaty was finally agreed upon. The two countries feared that the conflict could flood over the border. The peace treaty allowed for the rebels to be recruited for the army and promised the Tuareg independent administration of the north. Nevertheless, the army rejected many of the ex-rebels, and so they continue to make the country unsafe. The sedentary Songhai founded a paramilitary group and fought against the Tuareg. Henna and Barbara Papendieck witnessed the next explosion of violence after their arrival in Mali. We had come to support the peace process, but instead the fighting broke out again. The economist and sociologist followed their own approach in order to stop the cycle of war. Both know the traditions of African countries. They lived in Ghana for 6 years and afterwards travelled and worked for the German GTZ in the Department for Crisis Regions in Africa. To counter the amount of money the conflict parties were spending for war, they launched a fund for peace. The GTZ and the KfW, both German development agencies, entrusted the Papendiecks with 18 million euros. With this money, they first organized a giant festival. The peace meeting brought all different groups together in the city of Mbuna, where enemy tribes had the chance to reconcile. They invited the leader of the Black Songhai to the festival in order to make it clear to him that they cannot expect help from the army in the south. They invited the Tuareg, who realized that the attacks by their rebels could also cause the death and displacement of their own people. The list also included the Belas, who fled before the rebellion, and the Fulben were included, who share the large pasture lands with the Tuareg. "We even made it possible for women to come to the meeting," said Barbara Papendieck. "They came with trucks, on foot, or on donkeys. The Songhai, Arabs, Tuareg, Bela, and Fulbe squatted in the open air. They discussed, bargained, and argued. The conversations had to be translated into 5 languages. Century-old conflicts and desires were worked out. Water, schools, and work were the most important topics. A few meters away, women cooked and baked non-stop over a giant fire. Food for the masses. The people ate 3.5 tons of rice, 180 sheep, 4 oxen, and mountains of pita bread. The peace festival cost 13 million Mali francs, which is about 20,000 euros. 3 days later, the nomads from the far north came back to the markets. "The meeting brought reconciliation," said Barbara Papendieck. "Then we could begin with the real work." First, they founded a council of the elders. Representatives in the council included the most influential men from all ethnic groups. The youth were deeply affected by the war. They learned to solve their conflicts through violence, and we did not want this approach for the council. The elderly, on the other hand, know a different way of problem-solving. "We said, we are German, we are foreigners here, but we have money. However, we will only use it in places where there's peace. You should advise us on what to do." The concept is simple. But to put it into practice, the Papendiecks had to leave their comfortable house in the capital city of Bamako and move to the desert provinces in the north, there where the people need help. Accompanied by a military patrol, they drove through a no-man's land of destroyed villages and landed in the small rural city of Léré. 2/3 of the city's population had fled. Many huts are still in ruins, and their skewed walls, made from mud, chaff, and cow dung, had fallen apart during the rainy season. Henna Papendieck still remembers Germany like it was in his childhood. He remembers the post-conflict period, with the ruins, the hunger, the masses of refugees, and being afraid of the victors. Still, he also remembers the reconstruction and the economic miracle which followed. That's how it should also be done in Mali, he thought. Use what is still there, but never take away the control from the people. They, not us, must rebuild their country. The Papendieks needed a leader who could negotiate between the ethnic groups and who could inspire hope and bravery in the people. Someone like Yahya Ag Mohammed Ali, who is the son of a noble Tuareg. "We are very lucky to have found Yahya," said Henna Papendieck as his SUV rumbled like a slalom race through termite hills and eucalyptus trees. There are no roads in the north, and only locals can find the way from one village to the next. When Yahya Ag Mohammed Ali negotiates, the Papendieks are best off just watching. This is also true on this Sunday, 10 years after the end of the Civil War. The conversation is about water. A dam is going to be built, motor water pumps ordered, and a piece of desert will be flooded. Who will be allowed to use the field? 4/5 of the population depends on agriculture for their livelihood, but 2/3 of the land is desert. They can only survive if they have access to water. Sometimes a small trickle of water is enough. Nevertheless, the Tuareg and Songhe fought to the death over this just a few years ago. Now Yahya negotiates with them. First, he listens to each of them. He leads the conversation with just a few words until their faces start to relax and the men laugh. Later, Yahya modestly says, "I think we found a solution." He discusses the proposals with his German partners. Henna Papendieck knows that his work would not stand a chance without his go-between, who knows all of the ethnic groups and their relationships, all the tricks and all the intricacies. "I don't know the complicated relationships of the groups. They are ancient histories and are not comprehensible for Europeans." There are setbacks, of course. Once the black village chiefs protested against being pressured to cooperate with the Tuareg. Nature can also be a constant threat for the work of the peace activists. First, it affected the Bella tribe, who were the former slaves of the Tuareg. After the peace meeting in the city of Mbuna, Henna Papendieck achieved the return of 40,000 internally displaced people to their homes. However, cholera broke out at the bank of the lake where they had resettled. The children died like flies. It was only when we could bring in medication and food, which we did as quickly as possible, that we could save them. Nevertheless, signs of encouragement and success have outweighed everything else. When walking through Léré, Henna Papendieck realized that many mud huts are dark. They're wet. They're new. Something's happening. Hey, that's a good moment. He is happy that the people are better fed and that many now wear shoes. When there's work, when houses are built, then these are the foundations for peace. The statistics reflect the progress. In northern Mali, German development help financed 25 schools, 45 city halls, 7 health clinics, 2 banks, 13 deep wells, vaccination campaigns, and 330 motor water pumps. In total, Germany has given 55 million euros for the development of this region. Each of these water pumps make 30 hectares of land fertile and help to feed 700 people. This is the reward for 10 years of work towards peace. The Papendiecks spend many days a year in the desert. They spend the night in windy tents, far from every comfort of civilization. Twice a year, they fly to Berlin for 2 months. There they go to orchestra concerts, to the movies, and to the theater. That's their ration on culture, which has to last them for the whole year. What gives them the strength to dedicate their lives to bringing peace to these foreigners? "It does my heart good to see the water from the Niger River flowing through the pumps and into the fields, and then everything's green," Henna Papendieck smiled. "The work here is the purpose of my life.
The Institute for Peace Education, Tübingen, in Germany, is responsible for producing this podcast. For more information about the Institute, please visit our website.